Hello, everybody.
Good evening, everybody.
I'm Omar.
And I am Peter.
And this is the Peter and Omar
Show.
Show.
Arts and culture show, actually.
Well, you know, the Peter and Omar show sounds great. Arts and culture is just what it's about. And we're broadcasting to you live from Silver Lake, Los Angeles.
Silver Lake in the heart of Hollywood, yes. Downtown Silver Lake in a place called Mountain View, which has a whole history.
It's a long, long,
long history in itself.
All the way back to the days of the silent film days of the Warner Brothers. It's filled with ghosts. Stories, films have been made here. Artists are always around. Mm-hmm. And we have a special one with
A lot of the units used to actually be inhabited by a lot of starlets and stuff.
Yeah, contract players.
Contract players from other studios and stuff, yeah. So.
And their residence is still around.
I'm totally making
I have a ghost here
up.
In my... No, but I have a ghost here in my foyer that moves around. She's is late for an audition perpetually. She likes me, though. So,
this is our first show, and it's our first foray.
No, it's our 50th anniversary.
Oh, it's the 50th anniversary of our first show. I'm sorry. We're starting at number 51 and working our way back to
this
zero.
This is 51.
If we get to like 30 and we actually get an audience, a listening audience, then we'll sort of re-look at that and
we'll
jump back up
again.
To 100 and go back to 1
mm-hmm.
again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But exactly. In the meantime, work with us, people. This is the 50th anniversary.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Here's to that.
Yes. Well, we have a very special guest here tonight. Her name is Jillian O'Neill.
Jillian O'Neill is a very, very fabulous songstress, and we have actually, Omar and I have known her for at least nigh on 15 or 16, 17 years, something like that, I think.
We're children
first
together.
Running
to the fields of Hollywood.
Back in 1991
naked.
Or 1992.
Naked through the fields of Hollywood, filled with bacchanalian joy. But let's let Ms. O'Neill introduce herself and speak for herself. I'd like to hear all about you.
Oh, hello. Hello, Omar.
Hello.
Peter.
Fabulous to have you here, Jill.
Flashing back already.
Yes.
It's just...
Shocking.
I know. Close your
yes,
eyes.
Yes, you hear the tinkling of the ice on the glass. So apropos.
Isn't it?
I'm here to tell you guys whatever you need to know. Well, really, you know, and you know you can get a lot out of me.
I know that, and I'm going to work
so
on that.
Yeah. We'll see where
well, there's a lot in you, so there's a lot to come out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Careful there, Peter.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I have
don't
a question.
Don't make Omar jealous.
I have a question.
Down, boy. Down.
I have a question for you, Jill. You're
Jillian. It's Jillian, actually.
Oh, you can say Jill.
You can say Jill, too, and get away with it.
Jillian.
Oh, that's
like
the intimate it. Version
yes,
of...
Yes,
yeah.
It's
oh, okay.
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 All
right.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll allow that.
Okay.
We're not on stage right now. If I were bringing flowers, they'd be addressed properly. So, I wanted to ask you about your inspiration. You know, how long have you been writing songs? What inspires your lyrics?
That's a good question. I started writing songs, really, I mean, the first official song I remember writing the lyrics to, like, locked in the closet and came out at the end of it all excited because I had felt like I wrote a song. I think I was maybe in, like, the seventh grade, so
wow.
I was maybe 13 or something.
That's going back a few years.
Just, you know, two, three back.
Maybe one or two before we met you.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, one or two before we were naked in the fields of Hollywood. Kindergartners. Which is taking me to a whole nother place. But before then, I just always sang. I mean, I was, from when I was really little, like, you know, couldn't even really speak. I just would pretend to sing opera.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't even really listen to opera, so I don't know how that came about. But so maybe I was channeling some... opera singer, but I...
Channeling
so I,
culture.
Yeah. So, because Lord knows my parents didn't have any.
God knows, yeah.
Is that right?
I find that hard to believe.
No,
and they say
they're fabulous. They're fabulous.
They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but clearly in this case it has.
And my parents... So, yeah, I mean, my grandpa was a jazz guitar player, actually. My grandpa played with Nat Cole before he was a singer.
Wow.
My grandpa played jazz guitar and Nat was just playing the piano because he started off as just a piano player. And I think the story goes that he didn't know or become really known for his singing until a singer didn't show up. And he,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And he,
it's funny how it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's like, okay.
Sultry, smoky voice is just sitting there waiting to happen.
I know. Can you believe it? Amazing.
Crazy.
So I had that influence.
There's some genetic disposition here.
Yeah, for sure. There's that. And I never really knew. I always, when I was young, I sang a lot of soul and like R&B music, and then I kind of got into jazz and
rhythm
stuff.
Rhythm and blues.
I did. The rhythm and the blues. Thank you, Peter, for the clarification. The rhythm and the blues. You know, no one ever... I didn't even really know where I got that kind of soul from. I just thought it was from my environment, maybe. But I hung out with a lot of people who listen to that kind of music. And then I went to Ireland when I was older, and I realized I think it's the Irish.
Oh, here we
Peter.
Go.
Peter.
Here we go.
Let me not take you there, Peter.
Please oh, don't. Peter, let her
don't get
there.
Him started.
I mean,
don't get him started.
Too much
give
Irish
us a
between
lilty.
The two of us. You know, too much Irish. With all the kid. O's there, it's like just waiting for a train wreck.
You
oh,
are an innocent
oh,
man.
I am an innocent man. Many, many years ago when Jill and I used to know each other, we would go to several parties up in the Sunset Strip, and especially
some of the finest
examples of Hollywood parties ever. And right. On the 17th of March, which happened to be St. Patrick's Day, some famous Hollywood movie star at the time, who will remain nameless.
Why?
I don't
know. Because
what
he
doesn't
drop
does he have
names,
a name?
Baby. That's
rename
the whole
nameless.
Point.
What was his name again? Oh, Jason Patrick. Yes, he used to throw these fabulous parties up there in the Sunset Strip, and they were basically kind
and
of
by
like
the way,
a.
Excuse me, I hate to keep interrupting, even though I enjoy that. Why are you being discreet?
What?
Why are you being discreet?
Why are you interviewing me? It's not about you. Why are you interviewing me?
Voice.
You're
voice.
Being way polite
Peter,
over there,
Peter?
So you are,
Omar?
Yeah?
For Omar? A moment.
I'm just sort of looking at that large yellow object in front of your mouth, and it's just kind of a little disconcerting. That's
well,
all.
If I raise it higher, it'll look like a clown nose. If I raise it 3 inches, I'll look
okay,
like
we're
a clown.
Moving away from the topic at hand, Jillian O'Neill.
So back to Jason
somehow.
Patrick,
Jill, you can leave
stars.
Now. You're done. Yeah.
We're warmed up now. Bye.
But I had a question. We both know your music pretty well,
uh-huh.
And I think I know it probably a little bit better than Omar, just a hair.
Yeah,
always.
But I was just wondering about this particular I assume is this your first album? All These Things, or is it your first album? Your first CD?
It's my first official, packaged, put out. Mm-hmm. Album.
Okay, and of all the tracks that are on it, I think there are 11, maybe, and an extra one at the end. Maybe there are 12 altogether,
yeah,
I
yeah,
think.
Yes.
I think there are 12 altogether. Which of the 12 did you kind of write first, or which one sort of inspired you to maybe create the album?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I know.
Am I going to say that? Apparently, I'm going to say that.
Arrogant ass.
I don't know why I keep saying that, because maybe I am like stunned. I'm like, wait a minute. There's no question asking with Jalan, Peter, and Omar in the
yes,
past. I need to get used to this. Okay. That is like, I can actually answer that.
Oh, good.
Which is shocking. Well, there's a hidden track on the album that's only on the actual physical album. It's not on the iTunes. Like, if you download it, it doesn't come electronically. And it's a cover song, a French cover song, Ne me quitte pas, that I fell in love with.
I love that song. That is so beautiful. I cry every time I hear it.
Thank you.
I mean, not your version of it, someone else.
She did make
just
Peter,
joking, just
Peter,
joking,
your
just
version
joking.
In the tub. I know you love that version.
Yes, my
that
early morning
song,
version.
That song from when I was 17 was like I just glued to me. Just the lyrics of it, the emotion of it. I mean, even if you don't speak French, that's just an amazing song. You don't have to know what the person's saying. It's just beautiful.
Someone's about to go into French over here on the other side of the table.
Mais pourquoi?
Yeah,
mais
see, there you go.
Pas.
I told you.
Pourquoi
let's
pas.
Have that for 10 pourquoi minutes pas. And get it out of the way.
Let's have a French show.
Let's
next
have
time.
Two bastardized
time.
French
fabulous.
Accents across the table for 10
that.
Minutes.
I
well, that means Peter will be left out, but
yeah,
that's
okay.
He'll be used to that.
He'll be used to that.
I love it. I like it.
That is not real. That's just the earliest song. But I think that if I make a through line, in fact, the song, this is an interesting little snippet about this record.
This is a really long answer to that question.
It is. It's
going to
be.
Yeah.
I'm a long answer person.
Yeah, long-winded is the word.
The first six songs of the record were all recorded. I had six original songs. I was just going in to do a sort of a demo take to like the old school version of music, you would do these demos, and then industry people would be able to envision from your demo and then want to help you. Well, it does not work like that anymore. They don't want to hear anything they have to envision. They want it to be already envisioned and really already successful before they want to even give a shit. So that's that. I mean, that's my little bitter moment of the show.
But, you know, I'm going to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
I think that actually the gift, but in a kind way. For you, it would be different. But I think that's kind of a gift in a way, because these days people who take it upon themselves to sort of fully develop themselves actually get to retain more ownership over what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
That you're going to wind up with more success that's yours and yours alone in the long run.
That's true. It is true. It feels maybe at the time or the years before leading up to the making of this record, without knowing that, it might have felt more like struggle. But you're right, because when I went into this record, the one thing I knew was that I retired from my day job, and I said, I'm just going to own it. And I went in.
So young to retire.
I know.
So young.
And still so broke. And I went into it knowing, like, this, I don't have to play by any rules. I'm going to make the record I want to make, and I'm going to do my kind of music. And that was the first six songs, which were all the sort of more tortured, mellow. The earlier question about writing, like, I've always been drawn to the dark stuff, singing the lament, the Billie Holiday, whatever it is. So I did those six, and then I took a few months off, and I came back, and with the people I was making the record with, they were all so amazing, and I just thought, you know, I am not all of that kind of music. I love all different kinds of music, and so fuck it. I'm just going to do here. I love this influence and this influence. And then I started co-writing with these people, and that's when all of the other, like, more, I don't know if upbeat's the right word, but like the more kind of rock influenced
sidebeat, maybe. Went from downbeat to sidebeat. There's nothing upbeat about
anything
it at all.
Anything kind of the moody, the rock and roll, like, that's when that all came out. And even when I was making it, people said, how are you going to make this song match those previous songs?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. I don't. Well, so what? Like, who cares? Like, I didn't have to care because
you don't have to care.
I was making my own record.
You can do what you want.
Nobody was telling me.
And there's
a
through line that becomes clear, I think, when you listen to people's work. Yeah. I'd like to, you know, on that note, I'd like to play one of your songs.
Yeah,
right,
let's have one.
And so people can stop, you know, wondering who we're talking about
Peter,
and what we're talking about in here.
And Omar have taken the liberty of choosing one of your songs.
Pre-selecting
one for you. And it's going to be a little song called Fabulous Ways, which I think is absolutely fabulous.
It is a beautiful song.
And then after that, then I want Jill to sort of expound on it a little bit.
If you feel like singing at any point in the audience, in the studio, do it.
In the studio. If you're in the audience,
and
if you
feel like doing that, don't.
Just put it on
He's talking to me, and I think I won't.
Is it playing yet, or should I? Okay. Should I give a little intro?
Yes, please do, yes.
You tell me when to stop speaking because the song's on, and then I'll just tell you.
Just cut your throat.
Fabulous Ways is co-written by me and Rami Jaffe, and Rami Jaffe is an unbelievable B3 player. He's very, very well known. He was in the Wallflowers forever, and now he's been out on the road for the last few years with the Foo Fighters. And he's just super, super cool. And he actually played on many tracks, but he happened to co-write this one. And I just remember so clearly when he sent the little MP3 of the, like, basic structure of it to me without any melody or lyrics or anything. And me and the producer, Evan, were in the studio.
The producer I think is how you say that.
Oh, yeah, the producer and I. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Peter.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean,
That's what I'm here for. The wordsmith. Oh, I do.
Yes.
I have a backup copy.
I was going to also say, how did you meet all these musicians? I want to know about that as well. Because, it sounds like you almost... I mean, you found yourself just one day surrounded by this whole world of people. Did that happen by accident, or were you working on it, or did this accumulate? I mean, you seem to have been collaborating with some pretty special folks.
Yeah, that's true. And it didn't. Well, it did sort of. It was Rami. Mm-hmm. Actually, who I met, I used to be a freelance makeup and hair person, and I met him on a Wallflower shoot, and we got along instantly, and he's fabulous. He's great. I mean, I think in a way the lyrics are sort of inspired by him. He's just such
I think I met him a couple of weeks ago at that St. Patrick's Day thing.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, down at Cantor's or something.
Yeah, you did. And he's just one of those kinds of people, like, everything's kind of drawn
to him somehow through a little bit. He has that kind of charisma. Yeah. Much like I do, sort of.
Yeah, it's like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, unlike everyone else at the table.
But you're known for your charisma.
Yeah.
Well, see how hilarious we all think that is?
Isn't that funny?
Or should I say,
isn't that rich?
Isn't that rich?
He is a very magnetic person. And I hadn't actually talked to him for quite a long time. And then I was working with someone else at the time, actually, and I was kind of wanting to make a little change. And I called Rami just to see if he'd play accordion on the demo, like on this thing I had in my mind, this sparse 3 days to record thing. And he said, you should meet my friend Evan. So I met his friend Evan Frankfurt, who's amazing producer, recording studio. Oh, it's not working?
Sad, tragic, like we can't play the CDs.
Wow, that was, wow.
That has to go out.
Okay, well, let's have silence then for 2 seconds.
Let's have a moment of silence for the Walkman.
Wow, okay. Jill-Anne, that was amazing. Fabulous Ways, that was just amazing. I mean, that really was. It was
Holy
so
Dinah.
Subtle. It was so subtle.
Such a flashback.
It was so subtle. It was so subtle.
Dude, so it was great for me in my mind. Did you all?
Tell us a little bit about the origins of Fabulous Ways.
Okay,
I mean, your writing and your lyrics are just so poetic and moving. Just tell us a little bit about that particular song. And if it's, I know you spoke a little bit about it earlier, but is it one of your favorite songs? Who's it attributed to? What's the inspiration behind the words? All that kind of nonsense.
Okay, that... Oi.
Oi.
Oi. Oi. Fabulous Ways.
And while you're doing that, I'll pour myself a drink.
Like I said, you should. Like I said when Rami sent me that little MP3, it was all layers and layers and layers of keyboards, because he's a B3 player and he plays keyboards. And he also had the drums. He played the drums on it. And it's always funny because this record is the first time I really collaborated with people like Rami and these just really amazingly talented people. And sometimes you get something, just the music. And for me, it was already so amazing. It's almost intimidating. Just to be like, I can't. There's no way.
Who are these people?
Like, there's always a thought.
Why are they working with me?
I'm the human being who just always has that thought. Like, how will I ever come up with a melody as genius as that music? Like, it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving. I know.
You've done it several times over, is the thing.
And the way it happened was I literally...
Is that a roundabout, backhanded, like, sort of self-compliment?
Was it? No.
Yeah. No, it's an insult. It's an insult.
Oh, it's a self-insult.
Self-deprecation.
Okay.
It's an insult, yes.
It was like a combo.
Let her get into her comfort zone. She likes to insult herself.
It's a combo. Like, I for sure... It only happened, I went to Malibu, to Rami's, has a recording studio in his house in Malibu.
Fabulous.
He's a fabulous,
fabulous
person.
Fabulous, fabulous.
And
There's
I was
again.
Driving along, and I
you're,
had
you're wearing it
pieces
out,
of
Shut up.
Melody, just pieces. I have had it playing on my iPod in the car. I didn't really listen to it a lot before I went there, but we went over to just kind of sketch out ideas. And that particular song, it sort of, most of it happened a little bit on the way in the car, and then mostly just there with him. And those lyrics, most probably 80 or 90% of them came to me off the top of my head, just singing like randomly, you know, just, which is a lot of the way I write actually lyrics and a lot of the way I sing melodies. And a lot of my lyrics do come out like that. I'm not one of those people, and I have let go wanting to be one of those people who you hear about that sits diligently and, like, you know, however many hours a day does their writing and
make sure all the words and the verbs,
you know,
and the nouns and the adjectives are all sort of like queuing up to each other and getting the right sort of sense about the whole thing. It just sort of like flushes out of you.
Yeah, I can't. I have some that were more like sit down, kind of think about it, but not, you know. This Never Happened is a song that was like one take. I have a lot of songs where I'll just be with a guitar in the living room and just sing them speakeasy, which is in my show, but not on this record. I was driving from Altadena to Silver Lake and sang it from A to B, got home, re-sang it once, and wrote it down, and it's never changed since.
Fantastic.
So
you should travel. You should travel with a tape recorder.
I think, you know, I have to, and I don't, and it's so many songs get lost.
I think when you eventually get a wider audience, what they're definitely going to recognize is your ability to sort of incredibly somehow connect to every single lyric that comes out of your mouth. I mean,
that was one of the things we talked about.
Yeah, we spoke about that earlier.
like complete emotional engagement, and that was really impressive. That it wasn't just the phrasing and the articulation of the lyrics themselves, but we felt and believed everything you said.
Everything you said, like there's
we had a pretty freaking critical audience.
Everybody
was a pro.
There's
one song in particular.
They recognized everything that was great about what you did.
Mm. Well, there's actually several songs, but I can't remember which song it is. But it goes something like, and I'll completely ruin this. When you sing "All My Walls Are Paper Thin," what is that one about?
Oh,
yes, I know.
Sonata.
I didn't
read
it, but
Sonata. No, you totally got it. I got that.
The thing about it is, like, when you deliver "Paper Thin," it sounds like it's paper thin. It sounds like the music is paper thin, like the song "My Sparrow," which is on this album too, which I love.
Yeah,
love that song. When you go up and up and up on the word "my sparrow, my sparrow, my sparrow," it's like a bird flying soaring higher and higher. So it really has all those things. It really does. That's what I get from it. So it's really amazing how you deliver all that stuff. I mean,
wow! Thank you.
I think that's really true. Yeah. I think that one of the people that I came with wept halfway through. I mean, she wept through.
Because they got bad news about some of their family members
or
something.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with you, but no. Yeah. Well, a little bit, but you know.
Why did I pay $10 for this?
Jesus Christ.
She
stubbed
her toe
here.
On the way in, and it was pushing blood.
She was overwhelmed emotionally.
Wow.
Yeah, really, truly.
Wow.
She said some of the same things. But, you know, there was something, I think Barry said it really well, that the articulation of the singing evoked the images in such a way that was kind of, you know, startling. It was
really
amazing.
That is so
very specific.
Lovely to hear. I don't very often thank you because I you know, like, I don't, I'm
is
not
this
conscious
script
of that.
For another guest? Oh, no, this is still.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. These remarks were not for you.
These remarks
for
somebody
for
else.
Week.
I'm sorry.
That's for the 50-second show.
Suddenly you play my song. It's just noise, art noise.
Jillian, do you have your songs on an iPod or anything? Or
yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
Look at that.
Okay.
Let me hold that. Let me hold that thing for you, Jill.
Oh, I'm sure.
When I sang my little all of my
you like that whole a cappella thing. Maybe you'd like to do that, maybe.
Yeah, I can do a little piece of that.
Maybe we should do something that introduces the show, because we kind of, because of the logic of the show, is that we're talking
there's
about
logic in the show?
Yes, there is, actually.
Oh, okay.
Once we edit your bits out, there's going to be a lot of logic.
You can have a lot of editing.
Yeah.
Because Barry and Peter.
No, well, that's got to go. We can't reveal his true secret identity.
The show is the thing that has, I think, enhanced, and anyways for me, sort of allowed me the freedom. In a strange way, I think I've kind of felt. I never, when I'm singing, feel like I'm hiding, but I think my history as an artist, sort of me in my living room or in pubs or in places where intimacy was the thing that I needed, but sometimes to let it all out at that level or emotionally to be that vulnerable, something about this show allows more of that for me.
Well, it provides a structure, it seems, that
it's like some kind of safe sanctuary or safe environment for you to sort of expose a part of yourself that you wouldn't otherwise exposed to your friends.
Jesus,
your family.
I mean, that was a costume failure, Barry. Don't keep going on about that.
Oh.
That was not a failure. That was not a failure, Omar.
That was a
Janet. Please recognize your tease when you see
that one. Was a costume
a
success.
Janet Jackson moment.
No, that was a costume.
And the name's Peter.
It was a costume success.
That's one each. We all did it once.
There it is.
Right.
Yeah, it's the paper thin and the all the
paper thin.
Paper thin.
Paper thin.
I think there's that.
Singing to the singer.
Walls are paper thin.
See?
I think the
see
first
the way it sounds
time,
like it's paper thin.
Yeah, and I think the first time I think the second time I sing that line I go down.
Mhm.
And that's actually somewhere I know that's a choice. Like, I actually know. Mm. So maybe I somehow realize that that thin singing it
was
thin.
Too thin or something.
Yeah. But it's not like I think of that.
Yeah, I
but
know.
Then when you're saying that to me, I go, yeah. That makes that.
Well, maybe on
that
second
that's,
one,
but
when you,
the
when
thing,
you say
but
the second pair, excuse me, I'm talking. When you say the second pair,
what you're going to say is not going to be interesting, so just stop.
When you say the second paper thin, maybe perhaps you had, you know, wallpaper on that piece of paper or something.
The paper thin.
And as I said, I knew what you were going to say was not going to be interesting because I know you so well, unfortunately. What I was going to say.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
It's going to be much more interesting.
Oh, is it really? Wow, you're really setting yourself up over there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, okay.
But I always think that, you know, what's interesting about artists is that sometimes they do things without even realizing what they are. I mean, like, I see, you know, people interpreting an artist, a visual artist painting, or dancer's interpretation, or a singer's, and then they have a discussion with someone who points out all these things that everybody else sees, and they're like, oh my God, you're right. I don't see it from that perspective. Yeah. You're not really seeing yourself from our position, but the choices are being made on some level. So I'm always fascinated by that sort of internal, instinctive level of interpretation.
Yeah.
Yet on some level, you kind of know it yourself, because I had a conversation with you a couple of days ago on the phone, and this one phrase that came out of your mouth was like so amazing. It like stuck with me. And I think you repeated it several times over, that you were this guardian of sorrow. It's what you called yourself. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very powerful thing to say about yourself. It really is. I mean, it's very true because you're so miserable all the time.
That's so true.
Can we wrap this interview up? You're bringing me down.
I'm the happiest sad person. My friend actually listened to the first six songs before I finished the whole record, and I gave it to him, and he never really heard me singing. And like 2 weeks later, I bumped into him, and he was like, oh, my God, I listened to your record. And I was like, yeah. What do you think? He's like, you're the happiest, sad person I ever met. And I was like, because I do sort of.
Because I remember at one point. At one point, we were joking about maybe perhaps halfway through your set at your show, we would pass out razor blades to the audience or something like that to finish it all off.
On velvet pillows.
I know, terrible.
Small,
I know, terrible.
Golden tassels. But only after we've had our third martinis.
I should do that. I should actually go around and do that. Be like, here, would you like a razor blade?
Let me show you how to use it.
I think act one, you should serve martinis.
Go up the arm, not across.
Exactly, yes. Contrary to popular belief, it's actually up, not across, or the other way around.
The Roman way, my dear.
Whichever way it is,
draw a hot
yes.
bath first. Then slice vertically,
horizontally. Have a game. Have a game of X's and O's on it, and then
should be on my program. How to kill yourself midway through the show.
So, pain you.
It's true. I did say guardian of sorrow. You.
Drugs cause cramp.
Guns aren't lawful.
Nooses give.
Gas smells awful.
You might as well live.
There it is.
That's Dorothy Parker once again. Yeah.
Look at the bouncing back and forth.
That's a resume from Dorothy Parker.
Thank
I know you're a
thank
big
you,
fan.
Peter. Well,
you're
because
welcome.
Of you.
Yeah, you're welcome, my dear.
Well, you know, what? Dorothy Parker was someone that meant a lot to us during our darker days.
And we meant so much.
I can imagine.
We meant so much to her, too.
Your darker days.
Well, I was
past
there
tense.
With her. And
you did her, didn't you?
I did her a couple
times. Did you
do
hers?
We were blind drunk, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
She was probably a little more blind than you were.
Well, clearly. Went with the likes of me. But she's the one that wound up in a goddamn coffee can in the for 10 years. After she was cremated, she wound up in a coffee can in the bottom.
Didn't she live in a hotel?
She wound up in the coffee can in the bottom of a filing cabinet for 10 years.
Are you serious?
Well, I took her home and did her again, but that was okay. Much easier the last time.
Wow, really?
No, that's true. Not the doing part about the can.
Well, I would hope, yeah.
So maybe we could...
play another song.
Play another song like the one we just played, except this time we'll actually have noise and music and instruments and stuff attached to it. Yeah. What do we have queued up here? It really doesn't matter because they're all the same to me.
They really are. I don't even know.
And I mean that
here.
In the most complimentary way possible. They're all
why
the same.
Here? let's recite poetry instead.
You can leave at any time, Jill.
I don't know. I just
it doesn't matter. Pick one of your choosing as long as it's one I like.
Well, here, yeah. It's the first one, so you can play.
And what are we going to listen to? Oh, Fabulous Ways. Okay.
We're going
to
do Fabulous
Ways. Because you chose
now.
It.
Fabulous Ways now. Okay, this is our second.
This is going to
second incarnation.
It'll be the first.
It'll be the first. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay, this show is just going to be psychotic and strange, but that's okay.
It's all good. absolutely heart-wrenching and breathtaking.
Fantastic.
As always. Really, really, really amazing. So, now, to talk to you as a regular human being, Jelaine O'Neill, you have none of that sort of poetry in your voice at all. So I'm just...
What do you mean?
I'm just kind of... like me. You're kind of mumbling and stumbling around words. But when we put them to paper, they become these whole other entities altogether. I mean, I really don't mean that as an insult.
You're comparing her to yourself.
You kind of,
that's really not fair.
I know. It's not fair to her or me. But do you understand what I mean? I mean, there's an essence. There's a sort of like an otherworldly presence that is evoked through your music that is sort of not readily sort of available, I think.
Really?
In your personality. Wow, that sounds like a major insult.
It does.
No.
Go for it.
Everyone listening is like, tune in next week when Peter shreds Jimmy.
Yeah. I don't mean it that way because...
No, but I know what he's saying. There's a very ethereal, otherworldly aura to the performance and to the music. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. You really, really create an atmosphere. But maybe that's something that, you know, one shouldn't necessarily carry around all the time.
Yeah, no,
it might be hard to live with.
It's not saying your 9-to-5 life is not, you know, worthy of, you know.
No, but I know what you
mean. Dig your hole
a
little deeper.
No, really. There's no getting out of what you went into.
Help me,
I'm gonna
we're done. Get the shovel.
I'm going to feel like I got to argue with my... It's little gems. But I do, when you're speaking to me, like you said, Guardian of Sorrow, I have little...
Yes, no, that's true.
Little
that
moments.
True.
My family... I think it just depends on the mood, and my family's always around just laughing because I do say things that don't make any sense but somehow make total sense.
Right.
So maybe that is...
But
I don't have the... I don't walk around with the energy. Mm-hmm. I don't put out... I don't think... I only gather this from other people's feedback, like what you just said, what my friend said about me being the happiest sad person he's ever known. Like, I don't really probably... put across what... Then you come see the show and you go, what the hell? Like, it's not...
Yeah, right. I think that's really what I meant. And
which
thank
is
you
kind
for
of
clarifying
good.
That.
Thank you. I think that's like a...
That's healthy, I think.
No,
that's
it is.
A good
it is.
Healthy
it
separation.
Is
a
it actually
trust
is.
Trust me, I walked around with it for many, many years. You know?
Yeah. Well, you earned it. Don't tell me about the big bad boy that broke your heart.
Or all of them.
Or all of
or
them.
Or all of them. Take us back, Jill. Take us back. Let's go back to, we'll say... 2000 or something. What was going on in your life back then?
I thought she was in 1927 when we were there
with
Dorothy.
She was just... I mean, she couldn't even speak back then. She was only two
Paris.
Or three back then.
You know, my show is really very much hoppings around different times and eras, still deciding whether it is this one person's life, singular lifetime, or a person's visiting their various lifetimes. Mm. Same soul, just different lifetimes. I'm still on the fence
kind of like
about
the,
that.
The ghosts of Jelaine, past, present,
yeah,
future. Kind of
whoever that person is, you know, from different eras. And I think that I could not... It's kind of funny, actually. I couldn't... There's maybe two or three loves that come to mind. Well... If I stretched it, maybe five. But
don't mention either of us.
The tragedy
please.
Is it's just kind of an overview. The Guardian of Sorrow comes because it's just... There was just a moment where I just realized like that this was not like a tragedy. It's just maybe what I was here to learn about is heartache and what heartache is and how to get through it. And then recently someone was talking to me about... You know, like the sadness. Sometimes I just feel really overwhelmed with sadness for no real apparent reason. And if I am wanting that to stop or not exist, then it makes it worse and much more painful. So my recent years is to sort of understand like that's something that I'm here to sort of take on, work through, put back out, you know, maybe put back out with, you know, heal it and have it go through. My mom, when I was little, she used to say like when I was 2-3 years old, when I first was learning to speak, I said something to a neighbor, like really creepy psychic. And my mom was like,
you said to your neighbor?
I was...
Get off my land.
No, I was standing there and I said something. I was with a friend and the lady, I said, I could really barely speak. And I was like, I had baby. And the woman was like, oh, you know, you had like a little dolly or you had a... looking around like thinking I was talking about my baby doll or something. I was like, no, I had baby. And she said again, I said, I had baby of my body. And I had like that kind of creepy look on my face that kids get when they say things that are really, you know, are coming from.
Yeah, and they're coming from another realm.
Which they do all the time. Yeah, yeah. And my, you know, and I that old soul thing, but my mom used to say like I could pick energy up off of a
stone.
Table, you know, like really. So that's a struggle.
So you're an intuitive.
Off a plate of
and an interpreter of those things.
Yeah. So if I get into it and I'm like, okay, this is not, and this show, you know, sometimes there are people who maybe don't want to go to the place like where your friend went, who was really feeling a lot of emotion during the show and being taken to that place. Some people won't want to visit that. They want to just be, I'm fine. And so for them, they might not want to sit and listen to the whole record.
Era where, you know, I was looking at some ancient clips of all these performers from the 50s and 60s, and people sang of bitterness and anguish and anger and vengeance a lot more freely, even in pop songs.
Vengeance is
mine, you know, and now you just it isn't done anymore. But it's not like the feelings have gone away.
Yeah, no, it's isn't so it feel good, happy.
We're in a very
still joy pill.
Strange PC. Like, you know, it's not appropriate to talk about that. Yeah. All the great pop songs of the 60s, even the great Motown sugar-coated songs, are all about codependence, or if I can't have you, I don't know if I can live. I mean, this would now be seen as something, you know, really inappropriate and probably wouldn't make it on the air.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
We love those old songs for a
reason. Or now it's all like trying to be, there's a lot of like masking of it or like affronts, you know, maybe going on. So,
right.
You know.
But even within the sorrow, as you're just talking about, even though some people may go to those, those kind of darker places, there are still other people who you're kind of like a conduit for their sort of emotions as well. So even when you're sort of having dark emotions on the stage or dark lyrics, or if it's an emotional turmoil, it's a way for people to sort of almost exercise their emotions, you know, kind of in a way. And it's actually a feeling of, it's cathartic in a way. It's a good feeling, actually.
Yeah.
You can actually come away very, very happy from that emotional depth of sorrow. Do you know what I mean? Like you, it's almost like being at a, kind of like a therapist almost, you know what I mean? And God knows I've been there. And so let's talk about that, Omar. Your therapy session last week.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
one?
God. Oh, Jesus.
The one I had with you.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
Yeah, that's thank you. Like I hope that can be the thing. The goal is to work it more and more so you do come out feeling like that. And actually, on the record,
what is the saddest song of this album? I want to play something soon.
The saddest song on that album,
numbers 1 through 12,
besides Namikitapa,
which we're gonna save for the end.
I gotta say, it's a toss up between 3. My first instinct is to say This Never Happened.
Let's hear that.
This never.
Which
me. You don't want me to sing. You want me to sing it?
Well, I thought you could interpret it later, and then the audience could do a comparison.
Peter,
I have
of course you're Irish.
Places awake for the first time.
God, that's really good. I think, don't you? Let me tell you a little story before
we go
you play it.
Back to sleep.
God, could you
and
stop,
all
please?
The lyrics. I want to high five you for that.
I told you I was listening to them all the time.
Jeez.
I'm an obsessed fan, Jillian.
I love it.
So tell us the story.
Let me tell you a little story because she's on this record and it pertains to what you were just saying. Her name is Lucia Micarelli. I met her when I was on tour
Italian,
with Josh Groban. She's Italian-Korean child prodigy violinist.
What a mix that is.
And she is she's her own violinist, but she was on tour with Josh Groban. She went out with Jethro Tull. Like, she's unbelievable. And she's, I think now she's 24 or so, but I think she was about 21 when, I don't know how old. Anyway, so she's a young girl, but she's amazing. And she's a kindred spirit. And I haven't seen her for a long time, but when I came off the road and I started making this record, This Never Happened was one of the songs I wanted her to play on. And she happened to be in town for less than 24 hours. And
like
she
23
came in,
or something?
Yeah, like 23 and three quarters.
Three quarters, yeah.
She came into town. She said, okay, I'll play whatever you want. It was just an evening. She was there for maybe 3 or 4 hours. And she played on Almost Over You, This Never Happened, and Crash. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Crash, she plays, I will never forget, she went in and said, okay, I sort of sang some things she just did her own self. And then sometimes I'd sing a little thing and she would then expound on that. And she said, oh, can I have 7 tracks? And I was like, you can have as many tracks as you want. And she layered off the top of her head 7 violin parts that are all the only thing at the end of Crash is her seven parts off the top of her head. And for her, it was her, she said it was her first time arranging that, doing arranging of strings on an album.
Amazing.
But my,
and
the
that
reason
spontaneously,
I bring her up,
and that much, I mean, that's crazy.
Spontaneous, and because she's like a kindred spirit, Almost Over You, she played the violin on that, and I hadn't even laid down the vocal track, so she just, I sang along to the tracks we had, and then she went in and played just so emotionally. And on This Never Happened on guitar, when I wrote it, I would play it for people, and they would like it, but... And a lot of people would love it, but some people couldn't really get what it was. It was literally me plucking six notes over and over and over.
I'm
the
sorry,
whole
did
song.
You say plucking?
I did. Excuse me, did you say plucking? Can't say that on this station.
No, you can't.
Station.
train station.
You're
broadcasting from a train station.
More like a
underground.
Underground, deep underground.
Station to hell.
Right. The fifth station.
Nice one, Jillian. That was perfect.
I'm up. She's getting the program. I'm up-stationing you already. I get extra points. I get to come back
you
for
do.
That.
You
get two more big gold stars for that.
Let's my God. So, but really quickly, let me just say that Lucia, along the catharsis thing,
the Korean,
when I
Italian
met her,
girl.
She didn't hear any of my music. I'm going to make it really quick story. Mm-hmm. We're on the road. Finally, after like 2 months on the road, I see her on the bus. We rode on the same tour bus together, and I see her struggling, and she would always sit up front, and she was just in this weird space. She comes to me, and she's like, maybe I should hear your music now. I'm like, yeah, I think this might be the good time for you. She goes in her little bunk. I'm in my little bunk. She turns on Don't Bother Getting Up, a.k.a. the heroin song.
Loving it.
She opens the curtain. She's like, oh, my God. She closes the curtain shut. She disappears. She's got four of my songs. The record doesn't even exist. And 20 minutes later, she comes back out. And I look over, and has been crying, but she's smiling, like huge smile with the swollen eyes. And that was her thing. She's like, it took her, like what she said. And it was the first time it really kind of hit me, because she's like, it was so dark. It took her to like such the depths, but she felt so better. She felt so much happier when she came out. I could physically see
it really is like that.
This
turmoil
person go into her bunk. And then this happy bopping around the tour bus like it was nobody's business coming out.
But you make
out,
a good point. It's like, you know, the people who are afraid to deal with those emotions are the ones who suffer the most from them. They have to be released. And I mean, Barry was talking about the whole thing that you evoke on the stage. I mean, it is a bit like a seance, or more like a ritual in a way.
Yeah, it is.
Where,
yeah.
You know, we work and these things are evoked and evoked and evoked until they finally reach a high point.
Again, it's Peter.
We're done.
It's Peter.
Yeah.
It's
and
Peter
then here.
There.
Who?
Peter.
No, I meant, who was the other person I mentioned?
and then here is Lucia, the same kind of personality, the same kind of artist, who then comes to visit and plays on my record, and for me, makes This Never Happened. The energy I think that she brought to it is so present on the album.
Well, let's listen.
It's amazing.
Let's listen.
Totally. This never happened.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
And you were just telling me that was based on a real experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here to expand and expound.
Yeah, I was, okay.
Pass the Kleenex, please. Pass the Kleenex.
Not all. I'm going to preface by saying not all of my songs are directly related to something.
Right.
But this particular song is very, very much related to a particular event, you know, a man. I spent the most amazing weekend with this man. Like, oh.
What were you wearing?
Nothing most of the time.
Weekend.
Just, you know, one of those, you know, make love and just look at each other and go, where does your skin stop and mine begin? Like,
here and here.
Which doesn't happen all the time, just melding together and just this really amazing and just feels really, really real. And, but, you know, there was the situation just as it kind of went forward.
That parts of his soul were awake that he never knew existed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. And then he had said that.
That stuck in my mind.
He said that to me. He said, you know, places in me.
Awake
were,
for the first time, turn the
that
lights
I didn't
off.
Even know, or that were asleep or awake.
Amazing.
And it's beautiful.
To have
beautiful.
Someone say that to you and to really be in love with that person at that moment and know that due to the circumstances and the situation that probably it wasn't going to work out at this time in life, you know, and I chose to walk away because he needed to heal. He was in a really rough space in his life. And so I kind of knew that then that wasn't really going to work out. But when it didn't work out, it still broke my heart.
Right.
Aww. And I still had to kind of come back around and really, really kind of this never happened. Like, okay, this never happened. You know, sure. All right. I get it. This right. It didn't happen. It wasn't real. You know, whatever. So I don't know. It's just sort of one of those came out of that. I have a lot of those dramatic love stories, though, for sure.
Well, that's really nice.
Especially
but,
when I was a teenager.
Yeah, well, let's not go back there. We'll do that in the next show. So let's talk about a little bit of business. What is that tattoo behind your left ear all about?
Lotus on fire.
Oh, Lotus on Ooh. Fire. Okay. I just noticed
it
right now.
Is that a sexual position?
Yeah.
Or a,
what is that?
I have no idea. That's one of those like lay down and tattoo
let's,
me.
Let's talk about your show.
About your show, your upcoming show. Let's
May 16th and 17th at...
At the Cavern Club Theater.
Which is where?
And, oh, God, I have to get the little thing. Here it is. It is in Silver Lake. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the old
Del Campo.
Under Casita Del Campo restaurant, an amazing Mexican restaurant, really good food.
I love it there. It's a lot of fun. Great
yeah.
service.
It's down
Strong
underneath.
I like me tacos.
Down underneath, good chicken enchilada. Down underneath is this really cool underground little theater, and it is on 1920 Hyperion Avenue in Silver Lake. Mm-hmm. And there you can buy tickets on thecavernclubtheater.com or on my website, www.jillannoe.com.
Nice.
Jillann.com. If you put in two L's, you know, it's actually... leads you into some sort of
porn
foray into soft porn.
Soft porn.
Okay. So
yeah,
I'm not, you know, going to tell
not
you can't do J-I-L-L-A-N-N, but it's J-I-L-A-N-N.com. And my album is there. The tickets are for sale there. There's some video footage, a little montage of the show.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And more about me, and you can join the mailing list, which I always love. It makes me so happy when people
And the show's
that.
Called Morceau de Moi, and why is that?
The show... is Morceau
nice
de Moi.
There, Omar.
Morceau de Moi, merci. But it is now, actually, this incarnation is Songs with a View.
Songs with a View.
But still, Morceau de Moi is Pieces of Me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the record is all these things. Mm-hmm. And as we now know, by the end of this time, hopefully, there is definitely a sort of, you know, not playing by the particular guidelines of life and incorporating... You know, all the things, you know, the fun, happy, fabulous ways and the tortured don't bother getting ups and the this never happened and
heroin.
So and Pieces of Me, the heroine.
Heroin.
My favorite lyric is from one of my favorite moments on the record is from All These Things, and it's in the middle and it's a little bridge and it goes, I am all these things behold with all eyes open, God love. This undone token, I am all these things. And that lyric was one that came off the top of my head in the moment and the melody and everything. And I was like, yeah, Exactly.
It's perfect.
Undone Token, all these things.
Wow.
So More So Than Was, Pieces of Me, and Songs with a View is sort of because what we should say.
Pieces of Me or Pieces of Meat?
Pieces of Meat.
Oh, Pieces of Meat.
Yes.
get your mind out of the gutter and get your hand out from under the table.
Is your pronunciation. Get your hand off my back.
He's trying to get his hand under your skirt is what he's doing.
Morsels of Meat.
Morsels of Meat.
Okay, that's your show.
You and a
goddamn meatpacking factory.
Let's all run and buy those tickets.
We should say that Songs with a View is View because shouldn't we say that the show incorporates the film?
Yes, projection it does.
And
yeah.
The imagery. So there's
which is also
film
very
projection,
very, very evocative, very beautiful, very stirring imagery.
Right.
Yes.
So that it's
yes.
not just you know because otherwise people might think it's a band, which I don't mind singing with a band, but it's
but
not
it has
that
it's
kind of
it's
show.
More of a I mean it's sort of a hybrid of cabaret and avant-garde film in a way.
Yeah. You okay, know. There
but
you go.
I don't know if that does it justice. I mean, it's amazing.
It's hard
you,
to describe.
You would really have to come see it, really. You would really have to really truly articulate what it's about. I mean, honestly. So I personally recommend that everyone run and buy these tickets because they're going to be sold out.
Well, let's remind them of where they can get tickets again.
CavernClubTheater.com or on my website at jillann.com.
Spell it one more time.
J-I-L-A-N-N. In my most lovely phone sex voice. J I L.
That's really hot. That's
that doesn't make you want tickets. Nothing
May
will.
May 16th and 17th at 8 p.m.
Wonderful.
Jill Ann O'Neill.
Saturday,
has been
Sunday.
An absolute pleasure.
It has.
For you to speak
merci
with us.
Merci beaucoup, Peter.
For you to speak with us.
Thank you.
For us to speak with you. You are a true find and a true treasure, and I wish you the best success in the world. And I certainly am going to come see all of your shows. For free, of course.
Well, I mean, that's the perk of the job, right?
Do you know what I had to do while I was here, people?
To get on this show? You don't want to know. But if you're interested,
and,
there's
years and years
on
at the Frolic Room.
Let's
escaping the portal to hell
exactly.
in Los Angeles.
Let's thank Jill Ann O'Neill. Thank my co-host, Omar, and myself, Peter.
And
our producer,
Peter.
Greg.
And our producer.
And let's... get out.
Let's get out while we still can.
Let's get out with another beautiful track from her album, All These Things. And it is Jill, why don't you explain what it is?
Thank you. Why don't...
It's the French one.
Which one should it be?
Makita
Pa. Should it be upbeat or should we take them down low? Do you guys
want to
be tortured out there? Or do you want to be lifted
up? If we play them in triple speed, they might be upbeat.
Let's fight over it.
Let's fight. Rochambeau.
If we play them in triple speed, they might be upbeat. That's about it.
It's that or almost... Well, almost over. Namakita. Whatever you want.
Let's put
Namakita
Pa. Let's all cry. And please, Omar, do not sing along.
Should I tell... You know, are you? Did it start yet? Okay, I'm just going to tell everyone out there, in case they don't know, really quick snippet. Mm-hmm. The last lyrics of the last verse go like this in English. Don't leave me. I will not speak. I will no longer cry. I will hide myself over here to watch you laugh and dance and sing. Let me become the shadow of your shadow, the shadow of your hand, the shadow of your dog. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
The shadow of
your dog.
So
that's all I want to say. The shadow of your dog.
Mm, that's kind of rough.
Love it.
No, c'est tellement français, ça.
Just
c'est
tellement. Ouais.
Well, I guess the word chien sounds prettier than dog, doesn't it? Chien.
Yeah, I want to be the shadow of your chien.
Your shadow of your chien.
So au revoir.
Au revoir, mon ami. Tout le monde. À bientôt.
Merci tellement, Gilles.
See you on the boulevard, honey. See you on the boulevard.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What are you doing after the show?
Me?
Yeah.
Continuing what I was doing during the show.
Oh,
drinking and frolicking. Drinking and frolicking, yes. As you will be too. Even though you say no right now, that's what you will
be doing. Well, probably. That's what I always do.
The liquor has passed your lips, so that's
it. If only everyone knew where I've been with Peter and Omar.
Woo, baby. Geez. That's another show.
Really?
That's a whole other show.
It is.
Well, we
show number 52.
That's show number
certainly going to have Jill Ann O'Neill back.
We're
certainly
going to
have Jill Ann O'Neill back for our 20th
show.
But
let's not step on Makita Pa. We must play the song.
Ciao.
You guys, thank you so much.
Thank
this is our
so
parting
much.
Gift
thank
to you.
You.
You're going
thank
to love
you,
it.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill,
O'Neill.
So much.
Thank you, everyone.
We
it's
love
really
you.
A pleasure.
And thanks for coming out in advance.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
de pain, il faut oublier tout, s'oublier qui s'enfuit déjà, oublier le temps des malentendus et le temps perdu à savoir comment oublier ces heures qui tuaient parfois. Écoute pourquoi le cœur de bonheur ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas. Moi, je t'offrirai des perles de la pluie venues de pays. Je creuserai la terre jusqu'après ma mort pour couvrir ton corps d'or et de lumière. Je ferai un domaine où l'amour sera le roi, où l'amour sera la loi, où tu seras reine. Ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas, ne me quitte pas.
L'ombre de ta main, l'ombre.